just too unfair to too many people.
Julia Preston, the New York Times correspondent in Mexico City in the late 1990s, tells a wonderful story that captures the tension between the winners and losers from globalization in Mexico. It was May Day 1996, Preston recalled, and there was a very big demonstration in Mexico City. It was the first year after the austerity program, and so it was an exceptionally large march, including a large number of unions which had been part of the government-labor alignment and had defied orders against demonstrating. I was walking in the middle of the Union of University Employees, which has a long history of left-wing activism, and they were a particularly noisy bunch. They were chanting, "Muera Ortiz! Death to Ortiz, the finance minister!" They were loud and hostile. In the middle of this demonstration, my mobile phone rings in my purse, and it is the secretary of Minister Ortiz on the phone, telling me the finance minister wants to speak with me. I said it was too noisy for me to speak from where I was standing in the middle of the demonstration, and I walked out of the crowd over to a building to get some quiet, and also to give myself some time to prepare for speaking to Ortiz. So he gets on the phone, and I said, "Mr. Minister, I have to tell you there are a large number of people here who don't agree with your economic policies." He sort of chuckled, and it quickly became clear that he wasn't interested. He was calling me to announce and celebrate the fact that Mexico had just placed its first 30-year bond. It was the first time since the 1995 peso crash they had placed a long-term bond on Wall Street without any American backing, and it had been received very well. So there he was, high as a kite, and there I was, talking to him on the phone from the middle of this demonstration where people were calling for his death. Ortiz could survive such a day, and globalization can survive such a day, as long as enough people in Mexico feel they are deriving enough benefits from this system to tolerate it. They may take to the streets occasionally to denounce a policy or to make a labor demand, but those Mexican workers are not joining ranks with Sub-Commander Marcos and the Zapatista guerrillas in wanting to disconnect Mexico from the system. Not yet. But what happens if you have a recession in the United States and Western Europe at the same time, and Japan continues in stagnation and is unable to pick up the slack? The electronic herd could get emaciated, and instead of being able to reward Mexico, Brazil, or Korea by buying their bonds when they do the right thing, when they reform their economies, and when they put on the golden straitjacket? No. The electronic herd would be unable to do much at all. And if that happens, how long will Mexico, Brazil, or Korea tolerate the pain involved in adjusting to and staying in the system?